I remember, I don't remember a lot about primary school, but yeah. I really remember we used to have to go and stand at her desk to read. Mm. Don't remember how often, yeah. But one of the things, one day, I was standing reading my book and I couldn't read a word. Mm. Well, I could read some words, but not a particular word. And I had to stand, and she let me stand and stand and stand because I couldn't read the word twilight. And I thought, God, that's a really hard word. Mm. You know, she shouldn't be making me stand all this time. And that made me quite angry. When I was 11, I was in Mr. Stott's class.
Yes.
And he was a lovely man, very patient. Still got the red ink. But he did two things. He let us choose our own topics for research. So I did a history topic on transport, and I did something like the Bridgewater Canal or something, really, because I'm interested in bridges and structures and things. And he let us do some science experiments, and that was it. So I got a job in this place in asbestos research department as a laboratory assistant, and that was quite interesting because asbestos research department employed mainly men, as science industries quite often did. So I was 16, working with all these men who thought I should just make the tea, but then they gave me other things to do. I had to do quantitative titrations and things, and they gave me my own little projects. But I also had to go down on the plant because they just got a new plant up and running. It was supposed to be a dust-free asbestos process, which is quite interesting because on the plant, the men had to do the analytical analysis, analysis of all the chemicals to check that there was no burnable stuff going through into the asbestos products.
Yes.
That was fascinating because they quite often fiddled their results and didn't understand that actually this was important and practical. Clwyd at that time had got this idea about personalised learning in science. Mm. I don't know if you heard about that, but they were into individual worksheets, workbooks, and the years 3 to 5 had study guides that Terry Gibson wrote for them, and the years 1 and 2, so 7 and 8, they'd be now, had little topic books that I used to write for them. There were some in existence, but because it was developing, I was able to write some of these things. So I had my my classes would come in, and I taught a lot of first, second and third years, and Terry Gibson took a lot of years 3, 4 and 5 because he was better with them. And that was quite, it was really great for me. I loved the topic books. I loved the fact that children worked through at their own pace.
Yes.
And they had trays of equipment, so when they got to a practical piece of work, they got the tray out, and if somebody else happened to be at the same place, they'd work together on it.
Oh, right, so there was opportunities for
there was, but I'm not sure whether it was supposed to work like that, but but it wasn't meant to be like that. It was meant to be me helping them alongside. But my class would just come in, get their topic books out, start, no fuss, no starter, no. I sometimes, towards the end of a topic, or if I was introducing a topic, we'd have a start together. But other than that, it was all very calm, very relaxed. They put their hand up and I'd trot over and help them. And I used to say to them, well, come on, tell me what you don't understand. And I think I was being a facilitator. I think we've got to be very careful about what the practical work's for. And it isn't just to give them a rest from, they come to us in science and they say, oh, we love science because it gives us a break from, we don't have to sit and listen all the time, we can do practical stuff.
Yes.
I love giving them practical stuff. It's what I believe absolutely that they should be doing practical stuff. For two reasons. They need to understand why we're doing it that way.
Yes.
So they need to learn the process of for example, getting children to raise questions, which they're not always good at, particularly not investigative questions. And we also need to get them to raise questions to develop their own subject knowledge. But if we're just doing an activity because it's a fun activity. I hate the F word. You know, the students, oh, that was fantastic, we had great fun. Yes, but what did you learn from it?
So
I'm now working mainly on Teach First programme.
Yeah.
And I think the Teach First programme is absolutely amazing. The best thing I've ever done.
Goodness.
For me, it hits all the right buttons. Do you know much about Teach First programme?
A little bit.
These people, it's growing, it's expanding a little bit. But basically they are well-qualified youngsters. There's not a lot of mature, although there are a few who might have been in work for a few years in their career changes. But these people come in, really rigorous selection, but they come in with a vision. And they come in and they do a certain amount of 6 weeks of intensive training.
Yes.
4 weeks here, 2 weeks at the National Institute. And that stuff is carefully planned and tailored to give them what they need.
Mm.
But in September, they go into their schools, the majority of them anyway. They have their own classes. They're not sitting with someone else. They haven't got a co-teacher, although some of them do.
Mm.
And that it doesn't work out well for some people. But they've got this vision for their class. They know it's going to be hard work.
Mm.
They've got a mindset of, well, I don't know everything, but I'm going to learn it as I go along. They go in 1st of September into their class. They've got total responsibility for 60% of the time. And they're supported in that.
Mm.
But the children see them as their teacher.
Mm.
And I think that's got a lot to commend it. But coupled with that, they have assignments, because they do their PGCE alongside their training. They've got carefully designed assignments that they do at particular times through the year. So they did an assignment a little while ago on behaviour management.
Mm.
Initially they did one on the context of their school in its local environment, in its community. At the moment, they're critiquing a scheme of work that they've been involved with.
Mm.
And they have to think about learning theories and see how the learning theories have influenced the scheme of work. Well, actually, for many of them, they're teaching the scheme of work and then they're reading about the learning theories and then they're reflecting on it.
Mm.
But the point is, that's dovetailed together so that they're facing these problems. They're learning about the theories, they're thinking, did this go well? They're reflecting. And I think the Teach First participants become outstanding because they get the right thing at the right time.
Mm.
And they can, they don't always have the answers, but they ask, and they ask questions, lots of questions. And they can argue their position on things in the schools, most of them. And they can get, and they can influence change in school.
Yeah. But they have group placements, don't they? No, they go into a school as a group.
When
they get a placement, it's not that's not the case.
No.
Right.
In the regional institute in July, they did go into school as a group.
Yeah.
Here, I went out. Yeah. I took them into a transition day, primaries. Into a transition day at Hythe Bay, and they planned activities for nursery reception year one children.
Mm.
And we had a shared experience. Mm. But when they go into school in September, they have their own class in their placement school.
Yeah.
And the other one is on her own. And the one who's on her own is finding it most difficult.
Mm.
And she's also finding it most difficult, not because she isn't capable, because she's absolutely fantastic, but because she's sitting with somebody else. And they share a class. And she's not, the children are not looking to her as the teacher.
She doesn't have the status.
Another thing, last year I had a Teach First participant who was in absolutely dire straits. She would.